before we start the episode, just wanted everyone to know that one of the beers that is tried in this episode actually ended up being infected. When we had it, it didn't taste right. You will hear that in the actual episode. Rebecca had checked into this beer on Untappd afterwards, and the brewery commented on her check-in saying, hey, contact us because this is something we want to rectify if this is a problem. Through email, she was able to verify that, yes, they did believe what we were tasting led them also to believe that it was an infected beer. They will be rectifying this situation, which is amazing. They said they're going to send us a replacement beer and an extra one, as they said, just in case, to make sure that it's all good. We will have that in a future episode so we can fully evaluate that beer. This is to say that what we had wasn't a true representation in this episode of that brewery, apparently, and they had great customer service because this was all done in less than 24 hours, very prompt, and we should be having that beer on in the future. So, everyone, thanks for listening to this, and thanks for listening to this episode. On with the show. Welcome to a special 2016 Savor Salons episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, if you listened to last week, we had our review of the 2016 Savor event in Washington, D.C., which is craft beer and food pairing event, blah, blah, blah. If you haven't listened to it, listen to the last one. You'll get all the backstory that you need for this episode, because this episode we're talking about the two salons that we went to, which are basically their term for, you know, beer courses. It's not actually about, like, making beer or brewing beer necessarily. It's just about whatever topic they post. So, we went to two different ones. Rebecca went to one called Beer as Dessert, and I went to one called Getting Bigger but Keeping It Small. Now, there's an overall theme with the way these went this year, which is kind of a little bit of a lack of focus on the actual topic we were supposed to be talking about, but we'll get into that a little bit more. We have four beers that we will be trying during this episode, because we always do beers. But let's just go ahead and crack one immediately, because we have four beers and
four beers. That's too many.
No, it's not. We have four beers, we have two salons, so we should crack one immediately. And as you would probably expect, all the beers are from breweries who were at the Savor event, and three of them, we didn't try anything from them at the Savor event, and the other one is that special beer we were talking about in the last episode by Quest Brewing, so we'll get to that. All right, the first beer we're going to go ahead and start with is by Sierra Nevada. They were there. They were one of the, I believe, supporting breweries at
the
event.
I don't even remember seeing their...
They were there.
Where were they?
They were around... So the way they do it, they have, like, a bunch of small tables all around the outside, and in the very center of the venue, they have this giant square of all the supporting breweries.
They were there?
Yes, they were in that one. That was, like, Dogfish Head, Sam Adams.
Yeah, which side were they on?
I don't know. I didn't see.
I didn't
really look too closely on that one. So we're going to be having a beer by Sierra Nevada. It is their Kellerweiss, which is a Bavarian-style wheat. And the ABV on this is 4.8%.
Oh, good.
It's a low one. And I know this one is actually done open fermentation, which is true to, apparently, this Bavarian's way of doing this particular wheat beer. So let's give this a try. And I had heard from someone recently that they think this is a pretty nice representation of this style. So
light.
Yeah. And this is also to say, people, there were lighter beers at Savor. I know we talked about a lot of, like, the bigger beers, hoppy beers,
barrel-aged,
funky sour. No, this one in particular one was not. This is just one of the offerings that we could get from them around here.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I went straight to drinking it.
You're a little eager, are you?
I'm, like, out of sorts tonight.
So, the coloration is a little hazy.
Yeah.
It is hazy.
But very light yellow.
I believe it's unfiltered, too, is another one of their things with this. Yeah, very light yellow. It's got a nice white pillowy head on top of it. Let's smell it.
A little banana-y.
Yeah.
But not too much.
There's a little banana on the nose. Some spices, maybe. lemon peel type notes. It smells a little tart, a little bit tart. You can definitely get the wheat in there as well. Maybe a little bit of hay, a little honey aspect.
And so I already drank it. I accidentally didn't even sniff it. I just started drinking. It's nice.
It's super clean.
You're right. You get a little bit of the tartness that you were picking up on the nose.
Yeah, very little bit.
A little banana, not too much because I don't really like that flavor profile of my beer.
Get a little bit of a lemon peel, a little bit of like a spice character, clovey, a little bit of a cloviness in there.
This could be a good gateway beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can taste the wheat in there too, but it's not super strong.
No.
And it just finishes like a little bit watery, but not in a terrible way because it does leave a little bit of a flavor still lingering. That's
exactly
on your tongue.
What I was going to say. When you said it finishes a little, I wanted to say like water, but yeah, but not in an off-putting or offensive way.
Right. Because a lot of times when we talk about beers finishing watery or being watery, it means it finishes without much flavor sticking around. This doesn't do that.
Yeah. I like this.
Mm. Easy sipper. Tasty. I mean, for how light it is on the mouthfeel, you would expect a lot less flavor from it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty robust. It's a nice beer.
I don't know if I would go out of my way. I wouldn't seek it out, but I would drink it again.
But that's probably because this isn't like your favorite style. You know, you're not a big fan of super light beers, and you don't really particularly like wheat beers either, so.
Yeah. I'm digging my current light style right now, though.
Which is?
Help me out. That Flying Dog beer.
Oh, the Slager. Yeah. The ancho chili lime one.
I'm really digging that right now.
It's good for what it is.
I wanted one for a toilet beer the other day, but we didn't have any cold.
Sorry. It means you went through the other ones too fast.
No, it's because I go and open the fridge and there are lots of Carlin beers and no Rebecca beers.
Not quite sure what you're talking about.
Anyway.
But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and read the description that was provided by Savor for this event, and then Rebecca will kind of tell you what she got out of it and what she remembers. So the beer is dessert, which is what Rebecca did, it says, decadent, velvety, rich. These are words often used to describe some of our favorite desserts. But these are also some of the terms you'll think of when tasting four unique beers that may remind you more of a dessert than a beer. Join Atwater Brewery, Big Storm Brewing Company, and Insight Brewing Company as they present beers sure to satisfy your sweet tooth. So actually in the description it really doesn't say you're going to hear much about any topic. You're actually just going to taste beers.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what it ended up being?
Well, that's exactly what it was. Okay. And we tasted more than one, too.
At least it's not false advertising.
And there were five beers.
Mm. I know, that's crazy, because I will say there were three beers in mine, and then when you told me you had five in yours, I was like, okay, now I understand how when Rebecca came out of her salon, she was like, I'm really feeling the beer right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Especially when I had gone into mine after that, I was like, I only had three beers, like, you had five, it's crazy.
I had to keep some, like, just baby, just a little pour. And then by the end, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, so they talked really fast, and I didn't quite get their names, but from what I wrote down, it was Andrew from Big Storm, and Big Storm, he said Clearwater, Florida. It was their first time at Savor.
The internet says Odessa, Florida, but
yeah. I don't know. Atwater's representative, I wrote Brad. That was their first time at Savor. And Insight, their founder was there, Elon, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
Their first time at Savor, and they've only been around for a year and a half.
Which is
kind of cool.
Around for a year and a half, and they already made it into Savor? That's crazy. That's awesome. Great for them.
Yeah, they opened in 2014.
Hmm. Very cool for them. Awesome. I wish we would have tried some. Well, I mean, you tried some of the beer. I wish I could have.
I hate to say it. I wasn't all that impressed. And I don't
That's
know.
That's okay. I mean, a year and a half old. You know?
I mean, the people around me were, like, really digging some of these. So,
there's a power of suggestion.
Yeah.
And people wanting to love it, you know.
They did win a bronze at the GBF for
JBF
for one of their beers. Anyway, I'm jumping ahead. So, Big Storm, we had a beer first. And again, I wrote it was a Belgian double. I don't know the name, and we tried to look it up. We couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's not on Beer Advocate or anything.
So, I don't know.
I probably could have actually checked their actual website, maybe, and maybe it would be on there, but...
But anyway, they're a really small brewery, a 30-barrel brew house.
That is small.
And it was interesting, so we had that beer, and then they brought out a chocolate brownie. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good, the beer and the dessert, and it's going to be like a little bit of a pairing. But that was the only beer that had a dessert offering with it.
Oh, so you, so based on that, you had an expectation that you'd get food with everyone?
Yeah, I was like, because the brownie was really good. So the beer by itself was okay, and then with the pairing, the brownie kind of softened the alcohol and increased some of the raisin qualities in the in that beer. And it kind of just balanced the sweetness and bitterness together, you know, when you had them together. Because the brownie by itself was really, really sweet. But then with the beer, it kind of brought it down. Then I think his name was Brad from Atwater, talked a little bit. So they have a facility in Detroit. And then the second one, when well, Grosse Pointe, Detroit area. Yeah. And they're going to be moving into the... opening, expanding into Grand Rapids, and then in 2018, they talked about expanding into Texas.
That's a big jump.
Which seemed kind of random to me.
That's a big jump. I think I remember you having a really interesting story about Brad, too.
I do. I'm going to get to that in my notes here.
Okay.
So the next beer we tasted was the Decadent Dark Chocolate at 5%. It had a lot of chocolate flavor, and for a 5% beer, it had a lot of punch to it.
Okay. Nice.
But it wasn't, I don't know, it was just okay. I know they use a local company to make the chocolate flavoring for the beer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I mean, getting local ingredients.
Yeah, they used
awesome.
A lot of, like, people were asking questions about, and he's like, I don't know, we just have this local partnership with. Because they also made the same company made the banana flavoring for the next beer. So the second beer we tasted was the Imperial Brown Banana Foster beer. And he kept referring it to as Batch 100.
Okay. Because so. I looked for that one too online and could not find it. So I'm assuming this was very experimental. And, I mean, maybe that was the first place they debuted it, was at the Saber event. Which is really cool. I mean, that's awesome.
So they kept referring it to the Batch 100. Now, what was super cool about that was Brad, I'm not sure.
Shout out to Brad.
Brad the brewer. I don't know. The brewer.
Brewmaster Brad.
Yeah. kept saying how he faked a rum barrel, which I thought was cool. So what he did was he soaked oak cubes. Mm-hmm. In rum, and then put them into the beer for 2.5 months.
Nice.
So I thought it was a subtle banana flavoring, and ironically, afterwards I came down and I was telling Carlin about it, and Brad the brewer came down with pictures of some of that beer that was left over. So I went up and I'm like, hey, can I have a little bit more? And at the time, there was some other guy there from the event trying to say, hey, you can't have these beers on the floor. They're supposed to be up in the salon.
Yeah, there was a... We'll talk about that a little bit more after you're done with all your salon stuff. But there was some weird stuff involved with the event that I just really didn't understand.
And then... So those are those two... Well, yeah, that was the three. And then Elon from Insight Brewing... His story, his background was kind of cool. Like, I was telling Carlin about his background. He had a classical music background. That's kind of, I think, what he was studying. And was then developed this passion for beer and applied for this, what did I call it? My notes are...
Terrible?
Yeah.
I couldn't read them. And they're on, like, a bunch of different pages. I handed the packet to Rebecca beforehand. I was like, you might want to, like, look over these before we record. It's confusing.
I should have, like, wrote more notes, like, the next day when it was still fresh in my head and I wasn't buzzed.
But they're lesson for next year.
Lesson for next year.
That's what we were talking about. We always learn something for next year.
Oh, okay. he could apply to get a fellowship for something they were passionate about.
Passionate about brewing beer.
Yeah. So he was able to secure internships in Japan, England, Denmark. He ended up not getting the fellowship award for money, but he was like, hey, what else am I going to do this? I'm just going to go ahead and take these internships. And he just kind of learned everything. He said he made sake in Japan, and sounds like he had a really cool experience. And he came back to the U.S. and thought, I'm going to open a brewery because I have all this knowledge now.
And I wonder if he's employed anything he's actually learned from making sake.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if there's any sort of overlap at all between that and brewing beer.
I don't know. That would have been a good question. Yeah. And that was, yeah, I mean, they were definitely like, do you guys have any questions? I'm like, I don't know. No, now I'm too buzzed to even think of questions.
So that is one of the hard things about the salons, is that has a tendency to happen.
Yeah, so the first offering from Insight was their Blackberry Saison.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And they did win a bronze medal at the GABF for that.
Oh, good.
I just thought it was okay, but I have to say I was a little lazy in rinsing my glasses in the salon, which I really regret.
Did you have the Blackberry Saison before you had that Bananas Foster's ale? You remember what order that was?
No, I had the Banana Foster's and then the Blackberry.
Yeah, see, that's a problem, because when I tried the Bananas Foster ale on the floor, and then that was the last beer I had before I went up for my salon.
Oh, you couldn't get the flavor out.
I rinsed my glass. I couldn't get that banana out.
Yeah.
Like, it was stuck in that glass for a while. It took a few of the beers that I had in my salon before that would come out, so it messed with what I was trying. So that might have been that problem.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people around me were like, oh, this is so good. I'm like, I'm not really getting a lot of Blackberry, but I'm going to assume it was at least halfway decent if it got a bronze.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get a medal for not being at least good.
I will say the color was beautiful on that. That
looked cool. And, is there a lot of, like, purple to it? Nice.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool. He was very much like, I want to make good beer, and I want to make it with fruit, and that's going to be expensive, and as long as people are willing to pay for what it cost me to make the beer, I'm going to keep doing it.
Nice.
A
true person who just loves what they're doing.
Yeah. Like, that was pretty cool. And then the second offering from them was called Doe Eyes. And I don't really know what style it was. I didn't write it down. I wrote Cherry, and then I wrote Like New Glarus Red.
Okay. Because is that what they said?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you've had that beer. We've had a few New Glaruses in our lifetime.
And then I wrote, apparently they used so many cherries to, and I don't know if this is right, but what I wrote was a pound of cherries per pint of beer.
If that's true, that is a lot.
First I wrote a pound per ounce, and then I crossed it off and wrote pint.
So you could taste a ton of cherry?
I couldn't, but again, I'm like
the Banana Foster Dale.
Yeah, and or maybe I didn't rinse the glass, and or I might have been drunk. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But again, the color was very pretty. And the brewery itself just kind of seems really cool, because they said apparently this is a very, very sought after beer in his area. Mm. And it's when they have events and like releases of their beers, they have events like tricycle races.
Really?
I was like, that would be so much fun. Can you imagine, like, adults on tricycles, like, trying to race?
Yes, I can. Sounds like a good time.
So, anyway, they're at Insight Brewing's out of Minnesota.
Minneapolis. I just looked it up.
Yeah. And then I skipped over the story about Atwater.
Oh, right. Actually, do you want to save it just for a second? I'll crack this next beer and you can talk about it while we sip this.
I sure can.
After we talk. Do
it. And what is really weird is I wrote it on the next page. That's why I skipped it.
Yeah, your note next year, just, you know, sequentially, you know, just like straight down the page.
And what also is really funny is my notes from my salon last year were equally as bad.
Yeah. Maybe we need to get a salon very close to the beginning of the event.
Mine was pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah, it was at 8. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Well, we're going to...
Oh, I'm still drinking this.
Yeah, finish that off while I talk about what this is. So the next beer we're having is by New Belgium Brewing. It's their Citradelic Tangerine IPA. They're out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Now, this is 6% alcohol by volume. So Tangerine IPA sounds good.
It does sound good.
Yeah, and we don't have a whole lot of New Belgium on the show, honestly. Really don't.
Oh, I need a rinsey.
Yeah, rinse that first, and then we'll... I can tell you right off the bat, the coloration, super clear. I can see right through this thing. Very orange.
Yeah.
Maybe a slight tinge of yellowness to it, but tons of orangeness. A nice, decent white head to it as I poured.
I hope it has a lot of tangerine in it. Oh, okay, stop there. There's your... Oh, lots of head.
Yeah.
Would you say a pillowy head?
Yeah.
So pillowy, I'm going to lay my head on it.
Smell? What's it smell like?
Tangerine.
Oh, you... Where'd you get tangerine out of that nose?
I mean, I wouldn't pick out tangerine. You definitely get the citrus.
If you know that it's tangerine, like we do now, you could be like, yes, that smells like tangerine. It's got a bit of a sweetness.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, as far as citrus goes, tangerine has more of a sweetness than a lot of citrus.
I couldn't say, like, clementine versus, like, sometimes an orange can be very, very sweet versus mm-hmm. a tangerine.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't pick that out, but it is, like, those sweeter citrus notes. More so than, like, the lemon or lime.
Yeah. Yeah, I mainly just smell it. It's, like, a little bit of kind of a tart citrus aspect on there, but a lot of a sweet citrus, and it's tangerine. Maybe a little bit of a floral note on the nose, too.
It's not as hoppy as I thought it was going to be.
There's a decent amount of malty character to this beer. There's a very present, sweet maltiness to this. And the hops actually taste more earthy to me.
Yeah, more so than... What else is interesting, like, you know, that nose, I don't know, and I don't know, this is maybe me not being, like, smart when it comes to beer, but, like... When you just smell that, how do you can't discern what is the tangerine and what would be the citrus notes from a hop.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that what we're smelling on the nose is more of the tangerine, and then when we're drinking it, we're getting some more, like, the
possible.
Like more piney kind of hops.
So the flavor, I get a little bit of a tangerine-y aspect in the flavor when I'm sipping it, but it's more of like a tangerine peel when I'm sipping it. But when I just sit and just let my tongue sit without taking another sip, what lingers there starts to be more like a little bit of a fruit tangerine aspect instead of the peel. So like the aftertaste in my, I like even more than actually drinking it. Not to say that it's a bad beer, like it's solid, it's decent. It's not my favorite, but it's not bad.
I think this is... Could be a very good beer for someone just trying to want to introduce themselves to a hoppy type of beer.
Yeah.
Because it has some of those sweet characteristics.
Yeah. Well, a lot of their hoppy beers too, New Belgium, I've found that they have a more earthy quality to them. Like their Ranger IPA, you know, like that's very earthy, piney, you know, stuff like that. So
back to the tangerine peel. How do you know what a tangerine peel tastes like?
Well, I'm just marrying the... fruit of tangerine with the bitterness of what a citrus peel is like. So that's where I'm getting that.
Okay.
So, not, you know.
I'm just wondering, because I don't know the last time I've ever seen you eat a tangerine peel.
Or a tangerine, to be exact.
Come to think of it.
Specific.
All right, okay, so go ahead and tell me.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Brad. Brewmaster Brad.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry if that's not your name. Super, all three guys were just super excited and passionate about their beer. They were kind of like razzing on one another when the other ones were talking, kind of like asking stupid questions of one another, and they were just happy to be there. But anyway, he was saying that this Banana Foster's beer was like his baby. And
he was acting like that when he was on the floor with the pitchers trying to pour for everyone.
And he was saying the release of the beer was going to be corresponding to when his child was going to be born. Anyway, so he recounts how, like, a couple days after his child was born, he was at the brewery with the baby. And kind of, he said he had this, like, Lion King Simba moment where he held the baby up for everyone to see and everyone clapped.
Nice.
And then their brewery in Grosse Pointe is actually a repurposed church. So he thought it would be very fitting to have his child baptized at the brewery, and then he used that beer to use that water to make beer.
That's funny. Yeah, when you originally told me that story, I was like, that is awesome. That's funny. That's creative. I liked it.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So that's pretty much my salon. Yeah. There were 21 people there.
But I would say going back to the whole thing with when he was bringing the beers, the pitchers of that Bananas Foster Ale onto the floor. As I said, we talk about this a little bit more. That was one thing that I was kind of like, why does that matter if he's bringing it down to let people try, like it's his beer? And apparently the scene that was playing out is this person from the venue was trying to tell him, hey, you can't do that. You need to stop. You can't do that. And he's arguing about, well, I want people to try it. And while he's arguing with this person, he's definitely not stopping. He's just filling up everyone's glass who comes up.
Because I walked up and I was like, they were arguing. And I was like, well, I was in the salon, so you can pour me the beer because I've already had it. And then he was like, gave me a very generous pour.
Yeah.
And
so I, in retrospect, I'm thinking maybe what it was is that they want it to be a thing where one of the draws for the salon is that you get to try different beers than are available on the floor at Savor. So that might just be one of their policies. Yeah. Like, people just, you're not allowed to have what's in the salons if you don't pay for the salons. That's my
thought. How much extra are the salons?
Like, is it like $25 extra per ticket or something? I think it's something like that. I'm not sure. But
I wonder if it has something to do, because none of the other beers were just in pitchers.
Right. They were all like can or bottle. So yeah, so maybe it had to do
from a keg.
Right, or from a keg.
I wonder, I don't know if it had something to do with like, I don't know, the actual pitcher. I don't know. Who knows?
Who really knows?
But then, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna move on to my creepy man story.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tie the weird thing in with him not being able to pour those beers on the floor with the issue we had with the final beer we're going to try today, which is, so Quest Brewing had given us...
Which also goes kind of hand-in-hand with my creepy man story.
Oh, does it? So Quest Brewing had given us the beer that we're going to have for our final beer. And, you know, they do, like we had on the last episode, we had that Pettigrew's Chance, which is the gift beer that Savor does. So while everyone was leaving the venue after it was over, they were, you know, security was checking everyone, and they got to us, and I was holding that, you know, the Pettigrew's Chance and the beer that Quest gave us for the podcast, and they were like, I can't let you leave with that beer.
I can't let you leave with that beer.
Yeah, it was very, like, accusatory type, which...
That wasn't a good...
You know, like, I don't fault obviously, the guy who told me that, because I guarantee he's just doing what he's told to do. I don't have any problem with him. I just thought I was really, like, surprised and, like, kind of like, what? And I'm like... But they, you know, the brewery gave this to me to take, like, we're with the podcast, and he's like, I can't let you take it out, I can't let you. So I was like, okay. So I was like, well, let us go find them.
Guys, but they were already gone.
Yeah, we tried to find Andrew and Don to give it back to them, and then we could get it from them later, but we just couldn't find them. So then that's when we, you know, got some help from our buddy from Deschutes, Mr. Robin Johnson, who... You know, they just packed the beer up with their beer
that they were taking out. And we all walked out together.
And we all walked out together, and then we later on got that Quest beer back. But they were, like, looking in all the boxes.
Were they?
Yeah. They were looking inside the boxes that the brewery representatives were taking out. It was really... Well, that's because you were behind me, and I think behind someone else. But I was, like, right behind the people from Deschutes, and they were, like, opening the box lids and, like, looking in there. I'm like...
What are they looking for?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't understand, like, what's going on. Like, you're giving people a gift beer at the end of the night to leave with. If they have other beers that they're getting from other breweries somehow, I don't understand why you can't let them leave with it. I'm trying to think of, other than just from the standpoint of, we don't want people getting out and having a different beer and then other people getting jealous and being like, hey, where'd you get that beer? You know, what the heck? Yeah. Like, showing some sort of, like, favoritism or something. Like, that's the only thing I could kind of figure. Yeah. I feel like there can't be any, like, legal type thing there because they're providing a beer. as a gift. So I don't know. It's just, it was just weird. And that didn't happen last year. They weren't checking people as they left last year. People just left the venue.
Well, we could have just left the venue. I mean, they weren't, like, searching us.
Right.
They just happened to, like, look, which they probably did last year. We just didn't notice. Oh, yeah, maybe. Because we didn't have any extra beer.
Yeah.
I don't... I mean,
it was just odd. I just don't understand it. But whatever. I mean, it was just another interesting thing that happened in the night.
Yeah. So I get out of my salon. I'm pretty festive.
Festive.
And I'm like, okay, I got this, like, intense-looking spreadsheet paper from Carlin. I'm trying to figure out my game plan. I'm by myself. I'm trying beers. I'm feeling more festive. I'm trying to find a table to, like, take my notes. I find a table. I'm standing there drinking my beer. There are these two guys there. I'm just nice. I, like, every time I came up to anyone, I was like, oh, what are you having? What do you like? What do you not like? Just to kind of, like, you know, strike up conversation. Well, these two guys started being a little creepy. And then they were talking about, they're like, oh, you hear, like, who are you here with? I'm like, oh, my husband. And then we were just talking. And then the one guy says, oh, well, is your husband going to, like, beat me up for talking to you? And then I'm like, it just got creepy. We were just
There's no faster way for a woman to be like, I'm done talking to you than saying something like that.
And then I was like, well, I didn't know what to say. I was like, okay. And then that's why I was like, I probably should not be wandering around by myself, drinking beer by myself anymore. So then I wandered around, drank a lot of water, sat down at a table next to another gentleman who happened to be Robin Johnson from Deschutes.
Yeah.
And we struck up a very nice conversation about Oregon and the different sites out there and how he proposed to his wife on... He wanted to do it on Cannon Beach, but he couldn't because it was, like, all rainy, and we had a nice time. And then that's when Carlin joined us.
Yeah, and it was funny because after my salon, I was there a little extra because I was talking to the guy who was, you know, doing the talking in the salon because I just wanted to, you know, chat with him a little bit. And then I look at my phone as I'm leaving, and I have all these texts like, hurry up and get here, where are you, there's creepers, like, you know, stuff like that. So when I got down there and Rebecca's sitting next to...
Oh, you thought he was a creeper.
I wondered if he was one of the creepers and you needed me to kind of like get you away. So when I first saw him, I was like, potential creeper. But then he like introduced himself and we were chatting and you immediately seemed like engaged in conversation with him. And I was like, okay, I guess he's not one of the creepers. And he certainly was not. He was a super awesome guy. Yeah. Very nice. He had a great conversation
with him. Yeah, because... So after I initially found that creeper, I was like, okay, there are a couple more beers I have to try and then I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I remember going up to the Hardywood table and then these other guys were like, hey, trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I'm not talking to any any men because I'm like, they're all going to be creepers.
Done now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you want to talk to my friend here? I'm like, no, not at all. So...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best. I mean, I think everyone was probably just having a good time. There was no harm, no foul, like, whatever, but it's just hard.
The majority of people were not creepers.
No. Overwhelmingly. No. And he wasn't really a creeper, but it's just hard, unfortunately, in this day and age when you're, like, a woman alone and festive.
And festive. Nice. So let's go on to the next beer, and then I'll talk about my salon. So... The first two were caps that I had to pop off. The next two are Cork and Cage. So this one was from a brewery called Adroit Theory, who was there, and we actually did not try any of their stuff, sadly. And they're out of Sterling, Virginia. And funny enough, I was actually at the liquor store at Wine World with Mike there, and I was asking him what Adroit Theory beer to grab. And he said, oh, this one's so good. So the one I ended up getting is called Ortolan Bunting, and it's an American strong ale aged in Armagnac barrels, and it is 9.1% alcohol by volume. So little did I know when I was getting this, because I got it before we went to Savor, this was one of the beers that Adroit Theory happened to be pouring at Savor. So
we don't feel bad we didn't drink
it. Right, exactly. And I was like, oh man, that's awesome. So this is bottle 398 of 1800. They do a lot of very small batch beers, And they do a lot of barrel aging, to be honest. And in a minute, after we, you know, go over this beer, I'm going to explain to everyone what Armagnac is, because when I saw this, I was like, what the hell is Armagnac? So I had to look it up. So I'll share all that information with you guys. There's not really much of any reason that anyone should know what that is. So here comes cork. Oh, ooh, there it is.
I love how it, like, steams.
Yeah, it steams after it comes out. It's awesome. Let's pour a little bit.
And what style did you say? What style is this again?
It's a strong ale. American strong ale.
What is exactly a strong ale?
I mean,
it's kind of like probably
a little barley wine-ish, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Would be my assumption.
Do you know? I feel like...
High ABV.
Right, okay. I mean, I know that, but... Oh, this is a very pillowy head.
I can't see through
it. It's so thick. The head is so thick and pillowy.
It's really thick. When you really get it up to some light around the edges, it's like a reddish-brownish coloration.
It could be a brown ale.
Bit of a brown head to it.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and smell.
The head looks like it could be like a latte. Like, it's like thick.
It smells grapey.
So it does.
There's tartness to it, too. It smells kind of sour, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like cherry. There's like a sour cherry. Like,
yep, that's exactly what I was going
to say. Sour cherry and this little grapiness.
I don't know if I'm
smells
like
a little
this.
Woody. I don't know. Is this potentially infected? Well, we're going to have to actually taste it to find out, but it smells sour, to be honest.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Let's try it.
It's like silence. I don't know what to make of this.
This is shit.
Yeah.
Like, this tastes terrible, to be honest.
It's like...
It tastes like soap, and there is a sourness to it. I bet this is infected.
Like, it's like weird flavors, and then they just fall off your palate. Like...
There's a slight sweetness to it. Like, a very slight, fleeting caramel note in there, but it's soap. Doesn't it taste like soap?
I don't know. I don't like it at all.
There's like a soapy quality. There's a bit of a tartness to it. It's a little funky, like red grape, like wine type, which would fit with the Armagnac barrel. I don't like this. I have a feeling this is infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, this beer sucks. That's garbage. Oh. Oops. That's garbage. I don't like this.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about your salon.
There's a little bit of a roastiness on the end.
To talk about.
Well, I wanted to say real quick, I had a little backstory on the actual beer.
Sorry.
I'd like to try one that I'm assuming is not infected. With this beer, I looked up what an Armagnac barrel is. So basically, Armagnac is a form of brandy from France, and it's from a place called Armagnac, which is in southwest France. And it's actually done with, like, distilled wine, basically, wine grapes. And it's apparently a lot more rare than cognac. There's a lot less of it made than cognac. So people in the United States typically don't know what it is because it usually doesn't make it outside of Europe. So this is a very, you know, rare barrel to be using, which I thought was really interesting that Adroit Theory was able to get a hold of that. So now... Rebecca, do me a favor and look at the label and tell me what you see on it. Like, what does that look like to you?
A bird. In a cage.
Is it doing anything?
It has raptor claws.
Yeah.
What else? It's transforming into something.
It might be.
It's...
So it looks like it might be dying.
Okay, it's dying.
But they're
how do you know it's dying?
Well, here's the thing. Their aesthetic is very, like, heavy metal. It's very dark. It's very, like, heavy metal type aesthetic, which I like.
Well,
I think
their
artwork is
awesome. He's in distress.
Awesome.
He's chained up.
Yeah.
And there's a rope, and his claws are out.
So, yeah. So their artwork is very well done. So, when I looked up what Ortolan Bunting is, it made sense for this label. And you might think differently about it after I tell you. So, ortolan is a dish in France, and it's actually been banned since its creation. Because basically how it's made with the bird Ortolan Bunting. So Ortolan Bunting, the beer, is named after the actual bird Ortolan Bunting. So the dish of Ortolan, what they would do is they would force feed the Ortolan Bunting and then drown it in Armagnac and then braise it after it was dead.
Ew.
Right. But it's been outlawed because the Ortolan Bunting is protected in France now. So now what does that label look like to you? The Ortolan Bunting being drowned in Armagnac. That's what I thought.
I don't know if I can.
That's what I thought it's supposed to represent.
How is it being drowned?
I don't know, but it's...
Oh, you made that part up. It's in a cage. It look. Looks,
but don't you see bubbles? See bubbles around its mouth and head?
Oh.
Yeah, there are bubbles in the artwork.
Oh, hold on. Okay, this is where this outline here, it's like in something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So okay. It's being drowned in the Armagnac.
Oh, I don't like this.
So knowing that, isn't that a very macabre label? It's like super, super macabre.
Super creepy.
Yeah. And actually, as I keep sipping on the beer, it's getting better. I still don't think it's great.
I don't got time for bad beer.
The thing for me is, as I keep going with it, there's still that soapy quality to it, and it's still kind of a little sourish. There's a lot of tannic.
It's gross.
There's a lot of tannic red grape skin in it that's just not making it taste beer-like to me. And what I would want out of a strong ale like this is, you know, I want to get more of like the actual wood from the barrel. I want to get more of like some darker like caramelly notes. There's no like raisininess to it or anything.
Well, that's what I was expecting. Like those that the toffee, the like yeah, burnt caramel. None of that.
It's not. And as I continue to sip on it even more, I'm changing my opinion a little bit. It's not terrible. I don't hate it as much as when I first tried it. I think it was originally like a big shock. You have to be good with super rich, dark red wines to be down with this. Because it is so bitter, so tannic that you have to be ready for that. And you have to be okay with that. It's okay.
I don't even think it's okay.
But there's still a bit of like a sourness to it, and there's still that soapy quality that I'm not a fan of. So I have a feeling this is going to end up being my least favorite beer out of all.
I'm just
sorry, Adroit Theory. Bad start on the podcast. We'll try and give you another shot at some point.
I'm just kind of glad we don't have to drink that 9%er.
Yeah, we're just gonna dump it, even though it was a $16 beer.
$16 beer.
Yeah, it's a $16 beer right there, and it's like it's 12 ounce.
Anyway, okay. You're
okay,
so
mine was getting bigger but keeping it small. And the description was, Oscar Blues Brewery was the first brewer to put craft beer in a can and has continued to grow exponentially since. While it has added a brewery in North Carolina and recently opened one in Texas. It's all about Texas now. Oscar Blues has never forgotten its roots and the place that started it all. Oscar Blues Grill and Brew is the original Oscar Blues location and now focuses on brewing specialty and collaboration beers. Come taste some of their latest releases and hear how a growing brewery can still manage to keep that small town feel. So, originally it was supposed to have Juice Drapeau and Tim Matthews from Oscar Blues in there.
Can you please show me Juice?
His
written.
Name. It literally is spelled J-U-I-C-E. His first name is Juice.
Word.
Like
oh, Juice.
Juice Drapeau. Like,
what a name.
Yeah, right? It's interesting. So, Juice...
That's like a character you would find on a TV show.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay.
So, Juice ended up being the only one in there. So, that changed. He did talk a little bit about things that were kind of about expanding and kind of about keeping it small. But for the most part, it was more of a Q&A. So, it wasn't super focused. And I feel like that's how some of these salons are. They're not super focused. Whereas last year when I did my the space beer one with Ninkasi, that was like very focused. It was all about their space program and that beer that they made. So I don't know. I guess maybe it just varies on who's doing it, or I don't know. But so Juice was really good. He was a great speaker. Like, and he answered every single question. He was taking a lot of questions. He was great and a nice guy overall. So he, so really, I'm just going to throw out a, kind of some random stuff because a lot of this was just based on the questions that they got or that he got. So they do brew on a 20-barrel system for their specialty stuff, which he's the brewmaster at their brew pub in Lyons, Colorado, which is like their original location. So quality, he said that quality and company culture are their most important aspects, which he did say the quality aspect has gotten a lot easier recently because they've started using an automated brewing system.
Yeah.
So it can keep consistency a lot better. So that was interesting to know. So then he was talking about stuff. We ended up having the Dale's Pale Ale to start out with. And he kind of talked about the tweaks that they've had to make to Dale's Pale Ale because, you know, they were brewing everything on the West Coast. Then they opened their brewery in, North Carolina. And then they had some differences in Dale's Pale Ale over there. It didn't quite taste the same. It was close, but it didn't quite taste the same. And they wanted to make sure that a brand like that, you know, like all their beers that they'll put out are consistent through mm-hmm. wherever they're going to ship them to and from. So they had to make some small tweaks. And he said the majority of the changes really came from water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the composition of the water, like the minerals and everything in that. Very interesting. So yeah. So they had to play around with that, and they finally tweaked it and got it so that the Dale's Pale Ale in North Carolina and Dale's Pale Ale in Colorado should be tasting the same at this point. And I'm assuming they ended up doing the same thing or are in the process of doing the same thing in Texas as well. He did say that for a while, part of the reason that they put that brewery in North Carolina is they had been getting a lot of complaints in Philadelphia about Dale's Pale Ale because when it was getting there, it was older than what people were expecting. So, you know, if you're going to build out on the East Coast and have a brewery out there, it's a lot quicker to get beer to the East Coast. So that way, you know, people are going to get fresher stuff and the quality of your product is going to be seen by everybody. So, and then he said that they've done a few like fun tweaks to Dale's Pale Ale here and there for just like fun one-offs. Like they did a Centennial hopped one and like a Cascade hopped one. So that was cool as well. Someone then asked a question about them acquiring Cigar City, which I've said before, it's not actually Oscar Blues acquiring them. It's Fireman Capital who owns Oscar Blues and some other small breweries. But anyway, he just kind of spoke about the fact that Cigar City, they were close friends before that with Oscar Blues, and that they believed that they had similar values and that Cigar City had a similar theory on how they wanted to expand but also maintain that small town feel. So they felt like that just, you know, it fit. Yeah. If they had the ability to bring them in and work with them and allow them to do the same thing that Oscar Blues did, especially why since not? They were already friends, yeah, why not do that? So then we had a beer that they're going to be releasing nationwide soon called Priscilla. And he had it in 32-ounce crowlers because that's the only way they could get it. So that was pretty awesome. So they're pouring them out of these big 32-ounce crowlers.
Did they say why it's called Priscilla?
No, they didn't. Oh. But it was a wit beer, and I wrote down some notes when I was tasting it. I said it was weedy and smooth, crisp, clean, and I got a lot of orange peel aspect to it. And it was really funny because I wrote the thing about getting a lot of orange peel out of it, and then right after I did that, he said that they brewed it with orange peel. I was like, that's great. That's great. I was like, awesome, I got one. So then he kind of went into, people were kind of like asking, like, what are you guys doing next? You know, what's the next step for the brewery? What's the next step for beers? Like, things like that. So one of the things he said is they've discussed, although there aren't any plans yet, but just kind of discussed recently doing like a lower ABV stout, much lower than something like 1050, which is like 10%. And they want to do that with marshmallow, like a marshmallow stout, which if done properly could be really good. But you and I have had beers.
I've never really had. How do you taste marshmallow? I feel like that's such a subtle, nondescript flavor.
Yeah. basically.
Unless it tastes like the toasted marshmallow Jelly Belly.
Yeah, which tastes great.
That does. Okay.
Although I will say this, in Oscar Blue's hands, in Juice's hands, coming up with a good recipe for a marshmallow stout, I trust that because look what they did with Death by Coconut.
True.
Death by Coconut was amazing. Which, by the way, Death by Coconut was the third and final beer that we had there. And when I saw that that's what it was, I got very excited because we don't have any more Death by Coconut at our house. It's been sold out for a while now, and it's an awesome beer. It's like a liquid Mounds bar. It's amazing. So he did talk a little bit about that and kind of talked about how it really is a tricky beer to do because of having to brew with all the flaked coconut, and they also actually add liquid chocolate into that beer, which makes sense because the way it tastes, I mean, it's so good. So he kind of seemed like, man, that is a rough beer to make. And I can't imagine how tough that was to go from like a small batch to scale that up to like full production. Mm. Crazy. He also commented real quickly about how the owner of Oscar Blues, Dale, he's big into outdoor activities. So they really kind of pushed that kind of culture. And they started a bike company not long ago.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. That's why I wrote it down. So things they have coming out, obviously I said that they were going to have that Priscilla coming out, that wit beer. So people will be able to start looking for that. They're also going to be releasing a passion fruit version of their Pinner Session IPA. And that shall be a national release as well, which sounds good. In addition to that, some other things they're talking about. One thing he would not talk about is if they're going to start doing sours. Someone asked, and he said that he cannot say whether Oscar Blues will be doing or won't be doing sours.
That is, like, so interesting to me.
Which, to me...
means that they are?
Right. To me, that would indicate that you are going to do it. I mean, obviously, I can't say for sure, but that's my first inclination, is to think that if you're not going to comment on it, you are going to do it. Because I just feel like otherwise it's just easier to be like, yeah, no, we're not. You know? I don't know, but we'll see. So, sours for Oscar Blues? I don't know, maybe. But the other things they're definitely looking at doing, they're working on a black IPA that's in trial right now.
I like a good black IPA.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think they could pull off a really nice one. They're working on a hoppy Saison, which sounds really good to me. And then the one I'm most excited about that they're working on, a coffee IPA. I've only had one coffee IPA before. It was by Fate Brewing, and it was awesome. So I know that it can be a great beer, and I would trust that Oscar Blues can make it. It was funny because Juice was basically saying how Dale, the owner, is just like pestering him constantly. Like, how about that coffee IPA? How's that recipe coming? You working on a coffee IPA?
Aw.
So that, more than anything, that excites me about what's coming up for Oscar Blues.
Just such an interesting combination there.
Yeah. So, the salon really wasn't so much about what I thought it would be about, but I got a lot of good stuff just because Juice is so good at talking.
Yeah.
And he fields questions so well. So, so that said, I think I would really tell people, if you're paying for the salon, I would not pay for it. I wouldn't pay for it because I just spend time trying more beers, unless it is a brewery that you really, really, really like or want to like be able to talk to the head brewer or just hear what they have to say. Or you're interested in trying to get some of their beers that they won't have on the floor.
But they don't always... Oh, yeah, I guess they did.
They do. They pretty much always have something different. So that's... I think that's kind of the big draw, which is probably why they were trying to keep the... Brad from Atwater.
Right.
From pouring what they had in the salon. So, just my thought on it. But, I mean, I personally, if we didn't do this podcast, I probably wouldn't do a salon. I'd just taste more beers. But it is cool to talk to him. And I did talk to Juice afterwards. He's a really nice guy. We chatted a little bit about some stuff. And right before I was talking to him, two guys came up to him who were in the salon. And they were, like, talking about how much they love Oscar Blues. They're from Brazil.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool when you said that.
What? Like, they were saying, like, oh, we're from Brazil, we're here visiting in America, and we wanted to come to this because we love Oscar Blues. And he was just, like, blown away, like, oh, my God. Like, and then I said something to him after they ended up leaving. Like, I actually snapped a photo for them with one of their cell phones.
Aww.
And the guy was, like, super, super thankful. And I'm like, he's like, thank you so much. It means so much. Thank you so much. And I'm almost like, dude, it's fine. Like, I just snapped a photo for you. Like, it wasn't a huge inconvenience, but they were so nice. And then I said to him, I was like, that is really cool. Like, that's awesome when you get, like, international fans. He was like, I know, that was so awesome. And they were so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. And that's one of the great things about craft beer. And I'm sure that's one of the great things for these brewers when, you know, someone that they have no idea is tasting their beer is coming up to them and being like, I love your stuff. So, yeah. So anyway, salons were eventful.
Yeah, they were good. I'm trying to find the price.
So it's time for the final beer. We tease this quite a bit, and it's by Quest Brewing. We talked about them in the last episode, how nice Andrew and Don from Quest are. And I think it's important to note that they just recently won a gold medal at the World Beer Cup. And they won it for their Ponce Cucumber Jalapeno Saison.
Which sounds so good.
Oh, God, that sounds good. That is not what we have.
No.
But at some point, I would love to try that beer. But what we do have from them is their Caldi. Now, they have a regular version of their Caldi, and it's a coffee stout. But this version of the Caldi is a bourbon barrel-aged version. So could excited. Be great.
I hope it's good.
And they got their bourbon barrel from a local distillery near them called 6 & 20 down there in South Carolina. So I'm trying to get this cage off. This thing is like really super on there. Ah, there we go. All right, now let's pop
I'm
this.
I'm really
port.
Nervous when you do these.
Oh, I know. Hopefully we don't have a problem here. There it is. Doesn't look like it's coming out, although it did steam like you like it. So the ABV on this, 9.6. So it's up there. Pour a little bit there. Oh, it's pouring thick, isn't it?
I don't know if you can say that.
Well, I mean, I'm pouring it. It looks thick.
Okay, stop.
Yeah, I'll dribble.
It's like the head is like so dark. Like,
I know.
Chocolate thick.
It's obviously pitch black. Yeah, dude. Oh my God, that's like such a deep brown head to it. It's like, I mean, it looks like an imperial stout. It's got a lot of legs. When you swirl it, it's kind of slow to come down.
This is how I like
it. You smell it.
You get the coffee, but not as much as I thought it was going to be.
It's not as much coffee as I thought, but the coffee I get is green. Like, it's a green coffee note. Not, like, super roasty, but I do smell, like, a little bit of, like, a char-type note. Some roast, like, malt roastiness. Maybe a little, like, barrel char. Green coffee. There's some dark chocolate in there. A little... What else? There's a little vanilla-y, maybe?
Yeah, I could...
It smells like a lot of this is on the same level. Like, a lot of these notes, like, nothing's out-competing anything else.
I'm not getting any
bourbon, really.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if
well,
I can get it on
when I'm
flavor.
Saying vanilla, it's kind of like kinda, with the
yeah,
wood
with
from
the... Yeah.
We'll see.
It's sweet.
Yeah. I think a lot of that sweetness is coming from the bourbon. Like, I get that kind of bourbony sweetness on the flavor. There seems to be a pretty present woody note in there, too, from the barrel.
I'm not getting as much of the bourbon aspects that I like from a bourbon barrel-aged beer, but it's good. Like, I like the sweetness and the vanilla is good. It's very desserty.
The sweetness to me tastes like maple, kind of.
Okay, yeah.
Do you get that? Like, a little maple syrupy note. We just had pancakes this morning. That's fresh in my mind. It's very maple syrupy, isn't it?
It's a very easy to drink, 9.
Oh, God.
Like, whatever.
Almost 10%. That's 9.6.
You don't taste that at all.
No. No.
I mean,
no. You don't taste that at all. That's the problem. I think the sweetness kind of overpowers any sort of perception you would have of that alcohol, which makes it dangerous.
Yeah. I'm just like chugging this.
There's actually a bit of a dark chocolate note in the mouthfeel as well, or in the flavor. Mm-hmm. The green coffee is in there, but it's not as prominent.
It's not. Yeah, the coffee in this isn't. If you didn't tell me it was a coffee stout, I would only
have a hard time.
Yeah, because I'm getting the coffee aspects that you normally would get from, like, I feel like a lot of stouts.
Yeah.
Like those dark flavor profiles, right. But not as much as I want from a true, if you're going to call it a coffee stout, I'm going to be looking for a little bit more coffee than what's in here.
I wonder if they, like, straight up brewed coffee and put it in the stout instead of doing, like a cold brew, because it tastes a little bit more acrid and a little bit, like, there's a little bit of tartness, like you get when you have coffee that's been brewed that's sat in your cup for a while, like, and it gets cold. And I feel like I get that in beers that have coffee added to it, that's coffee that's been hot brewed, like normal brewed, as opposed to cold brewed. So, just an observation, and that's kind of bringing it down for me a little bit, like, that aspect, because it's on the finish, but that, like, maple syrupy type note, I like a lot.
Well, I just poured myself another. The head on this is just my favorite part of this beer.
That head's huge.
I mean, I like the beer itself, but it's just...
I'm starting to get more coffee as I taste it, too. But it isn't as much of, like, a green coffee, and it is more of, like, a straight-up roast coffee. Like I was saying, we're getting a lot of the green on the nose, but we're getting a lot of,
I can't believe
this
roasting. Is 9%.
Yeah, no. That's insane to me, because it tastes like...
7?
Yeah. It tastes like something like 7, 7.5. And it's actually, I mean, it's 9.6. It's not far from 10, honestly. So you're saying 9, but it's well past that.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I don't get as much bourbon as I thought I would out of it, though. There's some of it in there. Some of that sweet bourbon-y aspect. I wonder how long it's aged in the barrel. Does it say on the bottle?
No. It just says barrel-aged.
Yeah. Solid beer, though. Thank you so much, Quest. Andrew and Don from Quest for giving us this beer.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate it. So, we're going to close this podcast down. Rate these beers, Rebecca. How do you... They're pretty different. They're very different.
I hate doing this because
I... Do it, though.
Like, right now at this very moment?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to have to go Caldy, my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Sierra Nevada...
Keller Weiss.
Then the Citradelic... And then that
Ortolan Bunting.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to go same order.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Exact same order. Caldy's the best one on the table. Then that Keller Weiss is nice. Quite nice. Mm-hmm. Actually, I kind of feel like the Keller Weiss is kind of close to the Caldy and how much I like it. Because it's so well pulled off.
I mean, I like it for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. It's what do you typically like more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Citradelic's fine. I'm not, like, huge on it. And then, you know, we talked about the Ortolan Bunting. Although, I'm just gonna pour just a tad bit more of the Ortolan Bunting. Because here's the thing. I really want to like it, but...
But if you don't like it, you don't like it. You don't have to like every beer.
I mean, as you drink more and as it warms up...
It still sucks.
I wouldn't say it sucks. There's just so much tannic red wine aspect to it. Like, so much. It's not even really recognizable as a beer, you know? So, it just depends on what you like. I'm not a big fan. Rebecca, obviously, you're not a big fan.
No, sorry.
So, but anyway, we gave it numerous shots.
Sorry, Dead Bird Beer.
Sorry, Adroit Theory. So anyway, savor. Sad it's over.
Oh.
So sad.
I know. When I went back to work on last Monday, I was like, I want to do Savor again.
I know. I know. I wish it was every month, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll be looking forward to it next year, and it'll be here before you know it. And hopefully they have us back. So, hint, hint. Thank you. Anyway, Rebecca, do you have anything in closing that you need to say to the listeners?
I don't know. What do we say? Like, keep it brutal?
Yeah.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.